Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The Bible, Jesus, and Paul did more to bring value to women and to lift them out of that and to honor them than anyone else has even since then. Now, though it elevates women and gives value to women, it also makes no apology and doesn't change anything that was established by God in declaring that God established differences in them and different roles for them.
God's initial design for marriage is perfect. It's a beautiful, though incomplete, reflection of the love and intimacy He desires to have with us. Our society today is all about equality, which is good. God has made us all equal, but they have devalued marriage and perverted God's design. As Pastor Troy reminds us in today's message, we need to seek God's wisdom and guidance in our marriage relationships. He alone can show us how to love our spouses and glorify Him through our intimacy. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We've been talking about walking in wisdom. We've learned about walking in love. Walking in wisdom has been in our theme because we started in Ephesians talking about all that we have in Christ. We have been given so much. Christ sees us as pure in His eyes. We have an advantage, a start over, everything that we need. And with that, there should be a walk. And we've been walking through all sorts of things, wisdom, love, and now we're going to talk about relationships. In verse 21, before we get into our text of verse 22, it sort of is the springboard upon the next few studies. And that's that text that talks about submitting one to another. In wisdom, what we will do is we will submit one to another. But we also discussed what that meant and what it didn't mean. It doesn't mean everybody's just submitting to each other, like you said something first, so we're going to submit to you, and you said something first. Otherwise, as we lay out these next few weeks, that would mean that parents should submit to their kids. And that's not what the text says at all. And that's not the idea of submitting one to another. We understood, we learned that this idea of submitting one to another talks about considering one another. In other words, if I would be doing something, if I would do something as a husband or as a person, my job isn't to just do something despite everybody else, but in considering others. So I may not do certain things now because I'm considering others. And I, in that sense, I am submitting because of or on behalf of someone else. I am doing something different than I would have done. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what that looks like for certain roles, certain individuals. The idea is to consider others because life is made up of relationships, is it not? In life, we have lots of relationships, and we're going to talk about three of them in the upcoming weeks. Children, their relation to parents. Employees to employers, and that relationship. But today, marriage. Whether you're married or not, the principles are ones that you can learn from, because the ultimate goal in all of this is Christ-likeness. That's why the roles, that's why the guidelines, that's why the Word of God. I learned that in organized sports, organized football, for instance, there are roles given. You have to perform your role for the team to excel, and the coach is running it all. He has the bigger picture. You can't just run around doing your own thing because it doesn't fit. It's going to cause us not to win as a team. And so there are roles assigned. Now, before I joined real football. I could do whatever I want. I could do anything, go anywhere, run. All I had to do was outrun somebody. Just throw me the ball. Just throw it in the air and I'll get to it first. You can do what you want. But on a team, there are roles given. And in marriage, as we'll talk about today, there are roles given for the benefit of that marriage and for the benefit of both parties. God designed marriage. God is the one who established marriage, and He is the one who establishes the roles in marriage so that a marriage can excel. Why would He be interested in marriage excelling anyway? Here's why. Because marriage seems to be a living illustration or example or model to the world of what a relationship with Christ looks like. Can there be submission? Yes, in this relationship you see it. And you see how it works. Can there be someone who takes responsibility, takes accountability, and leads in a godly manner? Yes, look at this relationship. Look at this relationship. And when you see one functioning well, it causes people to think, be able to think in bigger terms, like, well, if I can see that in a relationship like this that functions so well, then it only makes sense that I need to submit myself to the Lord in that kind of a relationship, and that He cares and He loves me. He's not this dictator in the sky. And so He does desire that a marriage reflect those values from His heart and that design. Marriage has become one of those optional relationships, as more are skipping the wedding and just trying to enjoy the benefits of the marriage relationship. And even of those who do get married, many of them, at least half, didn't really mean until death do us part. There's always that out. There's always, well, we can get married, try it out, and it means, well, until we no longer really care about each other, we go our own separate directions and the world takes us different directions. In the United States, there are about 876,000 divorces every year. That's in the United States. 16,800 divorces per week. 2,400 per day. One divorce every 36 seconds. But God takes the marriage vows very seriously. Not in and then out. Not, we can do it, and then if it doesn't work, we can get out of it and marry someone else later on. No, it's to be a lifelong commitment. If I'm going to say yes, I'm in. That keeps us from making so many dumb, foolish, half-hearted decisions on the basis of our own lust or emotions or whatever. You've got to count the cost on this one. Malachi chapter 2:16 says, God hates divorce. So with those statistics given and God's perspective, taking vows very seriously and hating divorce, what this means is something really needs to change in our perspective of marriage, in the way we do it. Something has to change. What is that? We're going to talk about that today. Now, if you have been divorced, it's not the unpardonable sin. Sometimes it couldn't have even been your fault. You were abandoned. Someone left you. You had no choice in the matter. But regardless, we got into the relationship that ended that way. And that's not what God wants. He protects us in advance. So we listen to Him. And the sad truth about going into a marriage and then ending it in divorce is that though it's not the unpardonable sin, sometimes the consequences follow us of what happened in that relationship. There can be emotional baggage that could go into any future relationship. Lack of trust, whatever it may be. Children. You may have had children in that relationship, and the children are not the problem. Children are not sin, but they are a tie forever to that former relationship if you move on. Then there is something that we could say was stolen from someone else. If you just got drunk and we got married and did this thing, and then you get divorced, and then you try to follow the Lord and you get married to someone else, you've given something to someone else already. And God wants us to avoid that. He has our best interests at heart. We're making mistakes when it comes to marriage, about getting married and within marriage. that we can avoid if we understand more about God's design for it. So as we continue to learn to walk in Christ, let's take a look at what God established for the roles in marriage and discuss why we fail and how we can fix it, if we really want to. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the first thing we'll talk about is the wife's role. And I could hear almost the air sucked out of the building. And husbands looking over like, I didn't plan this. He begins with the wives and it's like a dagger, right? Like, ooh, every time I hear that, man. And it's a text, unfortunately, that some who don't know the Bible or the context of Scripture, it's one of those texts that people say, see, this is why the Bible is archaic. It demeans women, it demoralizes them, it subjects them to just submission. But they'll use texts like this one, and you know, women must cover their head in church. Don't speak in church. They use those texts. You know, see, the Bible is opposed to women. And let me tell you, if you read those in context, he's not talking about like a lion tamer, you know, with his chair. Woman, you want to get married? You know, submit. He's not talking about that, you know, like cover your head, woman. Ooh, you know, and you're shivering. That's not the picture. See, what was going on is Jesus, the Bible, or the text, Paul the Apostle, they liberated women more than anyone else ever had in societies where they were just objects. But with anyone who begins to have freedom, they also had to not go overboard. And so they were told in those cases, hey, don't throw out the things that are showing respect for the sake of, I'm a woman, hear me roar. Don't do that. Don't go crazy. Still be, don't give up those things that cause for a godly woman, those things that are a quiet and gentle spirit, those things that God established and wants you to grow in for the sake of, you know, hear me roar. So it was out of context because the Bible, Jesus, and Paul did more to bring value to women and to lift them out of that and to honor them than anyone else has even since then. Now, though it elevates women and gives value to women, it also makes no apology and doesn't change anything that was established by God in declaring that God established differences in them and different roles for them. It gives them value, but it does not dismiss the fact that God established differences and roles for them. These can clearly be seen in things like natural strength. I mean, minus, you know, putting hormone stuff in and all that stuff to build muscle, natural strength is different in men and women. There's an emotional makeup that is clearly different. Can't explain it, but we know it's there, don't we? And then childbearing. Do I have to go into that one? There's a difference, and God established that. Now, before we twist the dagger, let's go back to the beginning, because if we're going to build, we're going to build on the foundation of God's word. So Genesis 2:18, you can turn there or we'll project the scripture. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, marriage is God's idea. God is the one who saw man and said, you know what? He needs someone like him to come alongside him to be with him. So it was God's idea. He's the one that invented this whole relationship of marriage. So he's not against it. He's for it. He invented it. And that means he gets to decide when he created it how it best runs because he designed it. Verse 19, out of the ground The Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." There's an old proverb that says, "Woman was not taken from man's head to be above him. She was not taken from man's feet to be walked upon by him, but she was taken from his side to be close to his heart." This is the place that a woman actually excels, is close to a man's heart, close to the heart, walking side by side, being considered valuable, a help. Because of the tyrannical abuse of men with their selfishness and their strength, it's no wonder there has been an overreaction by feminist movements when they hear of things like, "Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands." Because we're thinking of the lion tamer. Says, "I want to do what I want to do. Just submit, woman." But that's not at all, as we go through this, what should be taking place. I think the scriptures are harder on the standard for men than for women. But these women's rights groups, they began to ask for something that I think was good, actually. "We want to be able to vote. We want to be valued," is what they were really saying. "Not, we don't want to be just an object again. You know, barefoot, pregnant, stay at home. Don't speak until spoken to." They didn't, and that's right. That's, the Lord brought them out of that. And so they said, we want to count. We want to matter. If there's a vote, we want to be heard too. So there's nothing wrong with the initial idea of the movement, but what happened with anything is you taste a little blood and you go beyond, you just keep going, you keep going, you keep going. So that they said, not only that, but anything men can do, we can do better. We should have everything and do everything and have everything. We can do whatever we want to do. Sky's the limit. And that's true in the Lord, but not within the roles that God has given. And so they went a little extreme. But the deepest need, when you boil it all down to it, what stirred all of that was a need given by God to women, which causes a society to work and which causes a marriage to work, that she feels close to his heart. Valued, significant, important, that she matters. Not over his head, not replacing him, not we can do better than you, not competing with him, but valued and cherished, considered helpful and needed. And listen, it's man's responsibility to make her feel that way, to feel secure. Verse 24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Why he leave? Both really leave, but he leaves because he is going to involve himself in her life and make her feel secure. Not, "Hey, honey, oh, parents, oh, I'm half in, I'm half out." In fact, there are some marriages that continue to struggle because one or both members will not let go of mom and dad. Everything's mom said. Oh, let me call my mom. Let me call my dad. Let me call my mom. Let me call my dad. No, when you get married, It's time to leave and cleave. And you have to begin to learn to trust the Lord now with your family. I know that mom and dad has so much money. Mom and dad has all the resources. I know. They had to start too. And so do you. It's part of growing in the Lord. And parents, to deny them that opportunity to learn to depend on and grow in the Lord is to deny them to mature in the Lord and to depend on Him. And so we all start from the beginning. We all start out with little. We all start out with those companies trying to send us those credit card apps that we can fill out. And you need furniture. You're just married. And they, I don't know how they know. They stalk us. But as soon as you're married, you need all the furniture stuff, everything that you need. You can get it and you can get credit and you can get yourself into debt right away because they're quick about finding you. But see, when you grow up in a godly home, mom and dad have explained, hey, don't go into debt. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to prepare you for it. And so that you're ready for the onslaught of the enemy who wants to get you into debt right away so that your marriage has no chance. And so parents are to pour into their children. Let them start again. You're not going to let them fall. You're not going to let them fail. But you do want to let them struggle and grow so they learn to depend upon the Lord. They can't always depend upon you because here's what will happen. If they always depend upon you, their marriage is going to be a mess. They'll either move back in with you or they'll be fighting each other. Because one spouse is concerned because that spouse always goes to their parents and it's kind of one-sided. You've got to let them grow. And marriage becomes your ministry, your first ministry. If you don't want that as a ministry, don't get married. And within that ministry, just like any ministry, there are roles. Roles given by God. So now that we've got the foundation for God's creation and His order, where this all came from, we'll return to Ephesians. And notice that it says, be subject in everything. It didn't say 50% or 70% or even 90%. Be subject in everything. You know why? Because it's not about equity. It's about a role, a certain role. You may look at this and go, I don't agree with it. And you know what? That's, you're right. You can disagree. And you may even say, and I bring scripture as my witness. The scripture that says there's no longer male or female, Jew or Greek, free or slave. There's no rich or poor, none of that stuff. There's no longer those. But here's your problem with that one, if you're using that as your argument. That's not the context. See, the context for that scripture is in relationship to God. Women, you don't have to go through men to get to God anymore. Slaves, you don't have to go through a master to get to the Lord. Rich, they don't have a closer relationship than the poor can have. Masters don't have a better relationship than slaves could have. Everyone has equal access. There's no longer these roles that make someone closer to the Lord because that's what they had seen in Jerusalem. That's what the synagogue services were all about. Certain could sit close. Others had to sit in certain rooms. Others couldn't even be inside. But now he says all that's done away with. Everyone has equal access. That's what that scripture's about. But he never said there weren't roles. He never denied what God had established. There were still servants and masters. There were still men and women, clearly. It's not bad that you don't like the role. What's bad is when you won't abide by the role. That's what we call rebellion. There are certain gifts that I wish I had, certain things I wish I could do, certain callings maybe, things that I wish I could do, and I could try to take it up on myself. But you know what? God has not equipped me or called me or enabled me for those things.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's continuing study through the book of Ephesians. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about Building on the Solid Rock, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And you'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God's hand in your life and that you embrace His blessings and grace in each moment of your day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Ephesians, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in.